Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio Light. This show is brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host tonight, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, putting birth and death back together again. They can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. Our guests tonight are Joe Peretta and Siri Bernstein, both Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. If any time during the show you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Please keep in mind that we are interviewing Joe and Siri, and they will not be opening to receive spirit communication during the show. And Bob, what do you have to share with us tonight?
Not much. I know that every once in a while, a new show comes on TV, and we saw one that had an afterlife theme, so we were, of course, anxious to tune in and see what the writers had in store. We're a bit disappointed.
Very disappointed.
The show, which is on one of the major networks, the star is Ted Danson.
I think it was on CBS.
Okay, and it's called The Good Place. Listen, I know that it's a comedy show, so I was not expecting a documentary, but on the other hand, you know, the writers said that one of the goals was to provoke thought. They obviously didn't do much research, about the afterlife. The premise of the show was that it depicts a heaven or a heavenly existence, and one of the participants that dies and goes to this good place it's determined is there by mistake. So, you know, it was the architect of this heavenly sphere mentions that only people that were the cream of the crop, wind up in this place. And the whole show centers around the turmoil that's created by having somebody that doesn't belong. I mean, one of the things that right off the bat, I mean, maybe you can tell by the title of the show, The Good Place. If there's a good place, there's also a bad place. And they all briefly touch on that, and that's pretty much the same idea that a lot of people have, the fire and brimstone, you know, hell.
Right, in this culture here.
Yeah.
Uneducated people who just assume that what everybody has talked about over the years, heaven up there, hell down there, up there is good, down there is bad. All of that rhetoric was used in the show. And so it was clear that none of their writers did any research whatsoever before pulling the show together. And it made what disturbed me about it is that people who are bereaved or people who are searching for answers are the market that would respond to a show that's set up like this. Even if it's a sitcom, they're going to respond because they get comfort in knowing that there is an afterlife. And yet every piece of information about the afterlife there would certainly didn't give me comfort, and somebody who is in deep grief, I can guarantee you, did not get any comfort out of that show.
Yeah, a lot of the concepts, what you might expect, they're people were not allowed to curse there, but they try, but or at least this person, you know, tries, but then you're not allowed.
Yeah, the other people are good people, so they don't curse.
Right, and everyone is paired up with a soulmate, you know, so that kind of stuff. One thing that did get me thinking a bit is that so they show that by having this person there who really doesn't belong sets into place, you know, problems in this existence. And we know that the consensus of opinion of the afterlife researchers is that we tend to congregate in this other these other realms that we go to after physical existence with like-minded people, and that in and of itself is a pretty extraordinary concept. I mean, how does that happen? Who's in charge? You know, is it?
Yeah, but see, if you do.
What kind of design is it? You know,
right. Okay.
So, you know, so it would be an extraordinarily exquisite design to have that. And are there mistakes? That's my point. I mean, sometimes do people wind up in certain spheres that they're not supposed to be? That they're not supposed to.
Well, if setting aside the research that we know and taking the accounts from the other side and applying it to this show, you do get all levels of good and bad people who cross over. Everybody crosses over to the same side. The concept of being with like people is that, and you have to kind of visualize the way it probably goes on there, is that there's this enlightenment. And those who are more enlightened are higher up on a scale of enlightenment, and those who are not so enlightened are further down on the scale. And so the negative, bad energy people are even further down on the scale. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a heaven and a hell, but I can see how this kind of concept information that's probably handed down over the gazillion years that we've been around has been reinterpreted by religion in a simplistic way of saying, okay, there's a heaven where the good people are, and then there's a hell where the bad people are. So it does lend itself to that kind of an explanation when that's really not what's going on. You have this, so can mistakes happen? I don't think so, because I don't think it's set up like government is set up or school systems are set up. It's not a system. It's just something that naturally occurs. The
right.
universe exists with this natural order to itself,
right.
And that's part of it.
Yeah, and there's nothing. You know, it's all fluid. I mean, there's nothing that's rigid in like a caste system.
Right.
I mean, you know, people are, I think, constantly in a state of learning, and you may have people, I know a lot of people like to try to put it in terms of vibration, so the people in the higher realms are higher vibratory entities, but they can sort of, for lack of a better term, you know, go down, you know, or move to more dense realms to help.
Right, but that also...
All the way back to our physical existence.
Well, that was what I was just going to say, and that's what facilitates mediumship. It's not necessarily the medium, and it certainly is not the medium summoning spirit. It's spirit making the connection by bringing their vibration down to be able to connect with a medium who's capable of raising their own vibration. And I agree with you. I don't like the word vibration, but that seems to be the lingo that everybody uses to explain it. I guess it's an easy way to explain it.
Well, we're going to have two guests that do this professionally and do it at a very high level. So these are some of the questions that we can ask, and also some of the questions that are going to be addressed at our medium convention. So, and our two guests will be at the medium convention. So,
I just want to, while you're on the topic, and I know we're probably going to mention it again a little later, is that if you're planning on going. You've got to make your reservations. You've got to make your hotel reservations. We don't own the whole hotel. There's a hotel block that we have, and that's getting filled up.
Right.
So if you're going to travel down there and you're going to go, you want to at least make your hotel reservations now.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. We come back, we're going to have Siri Bernson and Joe Peretta with us, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guests tonight are Joe Peretta and Siri Bernson. Our sponsor is the Camlack Center, and they can be found on the web at www.camlack.com. Bob?
And as you mentioned, I mean, Joe Peretta has a practice in Long Island, New York. He's a certified medium of Forever Family Foundation. And Siri Berntsen, of course, has been a certified medium of Forever Family Foundation for quite some time, and her practice is in Boston.
Boston.
And if you go to the certified medium page of the Forever Family Foundation website, there are links to their own websites where you can get a lot more information. One of the reasons that they're both graciously joining us tonight is they're going to be part of our medium convention in Fort Myers, Florida, November 11th.
11th through 13th.
13th. And we're going to give you a little taste of some of the questions that are going to be answered and some of the things that have been going on. So I guess a good place to start, and either one of you can address this. One question that we get very often, we have one camp of people that says, well, you know, mediumship, you have to be born with it, and that's the only way that you could be a medium. Another school of thought is that, no, mediumship is something that can be cultivated and learned. What's your opinion? I mean, a medium's born that way, or do they pick it up through training? Or is it a combination of both? Anybody
want to go first?
Well, Joe, you want to address that?
Sure, yeah. So for me, I think I have a little bit of a unique perspective on it because I am, you know, I was 23 or 24 when I really first started, so it was kind of young. I still am kind of young. But I personally know myself, I was born with it. Once I discovered, you know, how to do readings and that I was connecting with people on the other side and all my psychic abilities, but mostly the mediumship, I realized I had been doing it my whole life, and I had all these experiences where I thought it was just a normal way to feel something about someone or hear a voice or know a name or, you know, all the ways that people get information from the other side. So for me, I can definitely be a testament to being, you know, born a medium. Do I think everyone has to be? Not at all. I think, you know, most times it starts later in life with people. I know so many mediums who didn't, you know, even realize they had the ability or weren't even interested in it until it started happening to them, and they were in their, you know, mid to late 40s, early 50s. Sometimes people even in, you know, old elderly ages, it's happened. So I don't want to say you have to be born with it. But what I will say, which I think might contradict, you know, myself a little bit, but I don't mean it in that way, is that I think if you're going to do the work, your soul chooses to do that before you come into this world. And I think, I don't know about you, Siri, but I think a lot of mediums will agree with that it's kind of like a calling where you realize you have the ability and you're compelled to help people. So in that sense, you know, I think you kind of have to be, your soul has to know you're a medium from birth, but I don't think not everybody's born, you know, being a medium. And like any other skill, like you said, you have to cultivate it, and it's like a muscle.
Right.
I completely agree on this one. I do believe that people, they can train, they can actually take classes, they can become pretty okay as mediums, but you will definitely see the difference of those that are born with it. It's kind of like if you look at people that are born musicians, the ones that have the perfect pitch. People are born, I think, into certain aspects of like musicians or artists. And there are some people that are just really, truly stand out because they're very, very talented, like artists. They have a very keen eye for color. And same thing for musicians. They have this keen ear for music and sound. And I think it's the same thing with mediums. We are born with it. That is a definite. But just like with music or learning how to sing, I think that anyone can learn how to sing, but will they be good singers? Probably not everyone. But they can learn how to do it. Will they then be doing it professionally? I do know that there are some people that do learn how to do it. And they do it professionally, even though they're not born with it. But they may also not always deliver the best information. So there's a definite difference. You know, it's sort of like when a mother says or when a parent says, oh, my child is an artist, and the child is still 6 years old and they're doodling, I would not consider that child to be an artist, born as an artist. They may be very talented, but they may not necessarily be that artist as I see it. So, yeah, I do think that mediums are born with it. It's a gift that we're born with.
Yeah, I've also, you know, found that it's pretty common among the mediums that we've come across over the years that inevitably there are other members of the family that have strong intuitive abilities. Was that the case for you, Siri? Are there other members in your family that have ability?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, on both sides. I had both my grandmothers. So the interesting thing also with my grandma on my father's side, who I am actually named after, she spent her childhood, she grew up northern part of Iceland, and the mountain that is sort of overlooking the town is called the Seer's Mountain or the Witch's Mountain. So it was always in the family on both sides. Women that they read tea leaves or coffee cups, coffee grains. So it's always been there, definitely.
So you didn't shock anybody when you started on this path?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I was an atheist, and I think that because I was an atheist, and so when I started doing this, it was a really perplexing thing for my family, because also my mom is not a believer. So one thing is to be a believer, and the other thing is to be born with it. But the interesting thing is that my mom is extremely psychic. But she still, when she says, oh, I thought I dreamt of your dad, and I said, oh, my God, that's a vision. And she will say, oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But she will deny everything. So that is my little bit of a struggle with her.
Right. How about your family, Joey? Do you have other members of the family that have ability, or are you a lone wolf?
No, I'm definitely not a lone wolf. Much like Siri, both my grandmothers have it. My grandmother's probably listening to this right now. She reads tower guards. I have astrologers in my family. I have a couple of mediums in my family that are still a little bit iffy about it, but I know one day they'll get in the swing of things. If it's the last thing I do, I'll get them involved. I find that, again, to be common with a lot of mediums. You hear stories about, you know, people's grandmothers or mothers, and even my own mom's very psychic, too. So I think it's extremely common for it to run in the family.
It's interesting, like with your mom, Siri, that, you know, she's extremely psychic and intuitive, but yet she has that element of denial about it, because maybe that's there's a fear factor involved with it, or it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's reflective of our society as a whole, don't you think?
Well, I think back home, though, in Iceland, people tend to be very, very, very open-minded. And I think that my mom is, I would say, a little bit in her own little category. I love her dearly. But I think that she tends to look at things a little bit differently. She just tends to sort of deny things that are not factual, that are not real, that are right in front of her. Whereas I would say almost everyone else in the family, and I think it's also because her father's side of the family, they were all pagans, or they have no belief system whatsoever. They never went to church. My mom was not baptized. There was none of that. But on my other side of the family, on my dad's side of the family, they're extremely open to it. And they love the fact that I do this. And they ask me all the time. When I go and see them, you know, they ask me about my work.
Right.
So they're really curious about it. So it really goes, you know, both ways.
Yeah. I mean, on another subject, I mean, it's obvious in this realm of existence and in other realms that there are both positive and negative forces, whether you want to call it positive and negative or good and evil, but certainly there are different energies. And what we've also noticed over the years in hundreds and hundreds of medium readings, it's rare, if ever, that the medium describes any dark energy or any dark communications. I mean, why is that?
I guess I'll take this one. I haven't been doing it, you know, for as long as probably some other people, but I know when I do that, you know, when I open up to spirit to talk to people, I always ask my guides and spirit, and, you know, when I say a prayer, that I only get people of the light, or, you know, things that are going to be for the sitter's highest good. So, you know, I think that that's a big part of why you don't get negative energy, and because it's important to ask, you know, for the good stuff and the good people. You know, that's why a lot of mediums, myself included, recommend not really doing the Ouija board, because it's like one of those things where, you know, it's like walking through a bad neighborhood at night, you know, with a wad of hundreds in your hand. You can't really do that. But I don't think that prevents negative energies completely from coming through, because I have read people before where, you know, there were some people in their family that were not good people, and they come forward on the other side as a dark energy. I wouldn't say evil. I've been fortunate enough never to experience that, and I really don't. I want to say it doesn't exist. I'm sure, you know, it's out there. But you'll definitely get, if it's for the person's highest good, to hear from that person or iron out, you know, a certain situation. Of course, you know, they'll step forward. But for me, it's because I really don't. I ask not to really deal in that you know, the negative realm.
Right. Sorry,
I have a little bit of a different theory about all of this because I was not raised with an organized religion, so I don't have a background of sort of Christianity or Catholicism. I don't have a background of certain religions that sort of they talk about heaven and hell. I don't have that background. And so I tend not to believe in sort of this dark energy. I just don't believe in that. And so I don't buy into it. And like, for instance, with the Ouija board, I was taught by my first teacher, Rita Berkowitz. She taught me that there really is no difference of a Ouija board and pendulums and tarot cards, because it is the energy that we put into it. It is the energy that we bring out with us and how we are all trained in using it. So you can walk through a dark alley with a Ouija board, but, you know, are you protected by the light? If you are, you're in a good place. I just don't buy into that heaven and hell. I do think that when we do pass away, whether that is someone that passes from an overdose or somebody that has committed murder, they all end up somewhere in the light, because I also do believe that those that actually take their own lives, my experience has been that when they do come on the other side, they're loved so immensely, because they all they were looking for was love in this lifetime. And so the love is surrounding them. And when it comes to evil people, I do believe that they're sort of set apart. They may be put in isolation, if we can call it that, and then they're taught about love. That's been my experience.
Mm. When you are conducting a reading, you know, very often you will... you'll have physical sensations based upon the communication. You know, for example, somebody passed of a heart attack, maybe you might feel a tightness in your chest or similar physical effects that you perceive. Does that have any debilitating effect on you physically? I mean, obviously you're doing this as a profession. You're doing it every day for the most part. Usually multiple times per day. Do mediums get worn down physically because of the nature of the work they do?
Joe, you want to take this one?
Siri, you can go.
Okay. So, I mean, I get all sorts of things. I mean, I have felt people being car accidents. I have felt the impact of it. I've felt really... very specific things. I've also felt it when people have been on the surgery with, you know, in heart surgery. I've felt all of that. But I have to say, while I'm sitting with the person that is in front of me in my office or on the phone, the sensation lasts right there and then. But then once I have concluded that episode of the session or I have walked out of the reading, I leave it behind. But I do admit, though, that when I do a lot of sessions back-to-back, I do get very exhausted, because it's not just the physical aspect of it, but it's also the emotional aspect of it. Because when we're dealing with people that have lost someone, we're dealing with grief, and no medium will ever be able to tell me, "Oh, I'm not affected by it." You know, then I'm going to say, "Well, then you're a zombie." But I do think that in some ways we are all affected by the emotions that flow through, and then I think also for that reason, mediums they have to take really good care of their health.
Yeah, it makes sense, because, you know, emotions are a conduit by which communication can take place. So, you know, and they're greatly intensified in the work that you do. Joe, do you ever feel any physical effects?
You know what? Yeah, I do. I totally agree with what was just said. The physical stuff, you know, that I'll feel, someone had a heart attack or anything like that, that really doesn't stay with me. Maybe uncomfortable in the moment, but it's nothing that sticks. It's more the energy that I feel like that I use, or, you know, the emotions that you feel. I get more exhausted from the energy of all of it than really any than how the information comes through. And it's like Siri said, if I do 2-3 readings in a day, I'll be much more exhausted than if I did only one, you know, in the morning, and then I have the rest of my day to kind of go about, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, Joe, that you might, you know, consult your guides. Do you work with guides during readings, or is it, you know, on a personal level that you might consult with your guide? Does a guide play any role in the mediumship process itself?
You know, I in the mediumship, I would say yes. For me, the way that it was explained to me how they work, and I do use them on a personal level too, of course. I think a lot of people do. But I kind of look at them as like my bodyguards. It's like how... you know, if there's an energy that I wouldn't, they know I wouldn't want to speak to, or that would harm me in some way, they don't let them through. You know, so that's how I think my guides work, but they never speak in place of anyone else's loved one or anything like that. And if they, you know, sometimes in a reading you're sitting there for however long the reading is, 40 minutes, an hour, you know, and then after spirit is done speaking, sometimes my guides will channel them and they'll give me information about, you know, almost like a prediction or just information that the person might need just to help themselves, and it might not be coming from a loved one or anything like that. So I do use them in conjunction in a reading, but as far as the mediumship, I just kind of, again, the way it was explained to me is that they're like my bodyguards, or they keep me safe. That's just an extra layer of protection when when I read.
Gatekeepers, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
Siri, do you think that everyone has a guide?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely everyone has a guide, but we can also refer to as guidance because, for instance, I have a teacher and she always talks about her guidance because who is to say that your guide has a gender? I mean, where is the proof that a guide has a gender? Where is the proof that your guide is this or your guide is that or your guide is a nun or your guide is a priest or your guide is... I mean, who has the proof of that? There really is no proof of it. But I do believe that everyone has some sort of a guidance. I also do believe that there are times when if someone has passed in the family before someone was born, you know, they meet with them beforehand. And I do think sometimes, you know, in some religions, they refer to it as the guardian angels. I do believe that there are people that have passed on that become sort of the guardian angels and protect certain people in life as they walk through their life. So, yeah, I do actually believe that everyone has a guide or some sort of a guidance. It may be different guides or guidance throughout the lifetimes, and there may be different guides for different situations. I do think that a lot of healers especially have different guides. I mean, I have, for instance, I have a guide or I have guidance that works with me when I do the sessions, when I bring through the spirit people. And there's a very distinct separation when I move from this spirit person that has passed on to the intuitive part. And then there are times when I get medical information, and it's a very definite different energy that comes with it. Because then the other thing also, I get all this information that has to do with medical symptoms. A lot of it I get through Chinese medicine. And I am not a trained Chinese, I mean, I know nothing about Chinese medicine. But I get the symptoms in the form of Chinese medicine. Like I did a session with someone the other day, and I said, this young woman's mom, she was not feeling very well. And I said, well, she's got these dark circles under her eyes. And I felt like I was hearing little pebbles being bounced off the window in my office. And then I sent a message to a friend of mine who actually does do acupuncture. And he said, well, that would be a kidney issue. And then 2 days later, I got an email from the lady. And she said, oh, yeah, my mom was just hospitalized with kidney stones. So it was interesting how it was sort of the universal energy. They already knew there were kidney issues taking place, and most likely kidney stones, and then 2 days later, she was hospitalized with that symptom. So it's interesting how it's all translated.
Yeah, I often wonder about the role that guides, you know, play, and I know Joe mentioned that they really didn't enter the process while he's doing, you know, a reading. There's some evidence that would make one believe that when we're discarnate entities, that we need help. And, you know, maybe when we're in spirit, maybe there are mediums on the other side to help us, to teach us how to communicate. So I always wonder if a medium might sometimes be communicating with the helper, so to speak, or the discarnate medium or the discarnate guide as opposed to the discarnate his or herself. Does that make any sense?
Yes,
that actually does make sense.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes I often wonder, too, how all these people that I read, that their loved ones know, you know, that when I see an orange, it means Florida. You know what I mean? And sometimes I think it's because they're speaking to my guides, and it's almost like a game of telephone where they're translating to them, and then they're like, okay, so we got to get him to say this. So then, you know, we'll take it from here, and we'll get him to say it. So sometimes
right.
I wonder if my guides act as a middleman as well as a, you know, as a bodyguard or you know, a protection, which would make total sense because when you think about it, you know, again, they're tapping into the universal mind as well, which might be what they're doing and how they know what my symbols are. But it's also interesting to think that it just might be my guides, you know, playing a game of telephone with me.
Yeah, I think that...
Well, I mean, I think that your point is really, it's actually quite extraordinary, this point that you're making that sometimes... That there may be guides on the other side that may have been mediums in this lifetime. I would say absolutely yes, because I know myself that my work would be easier if I had someone on the other side that was like that at one point was a medium, because then they have a deeper understanding of the work and the process that we go through. So I would assume that the information would flow through far more easily. And like, for instance, if I ever was able to connect with someone like Edgar Cayce, I'd be thrilled to have a little chit chat with Edgar Cayce.
Right. You know. We have to go to a break. We're talking with Joe Peretta and Siri Berenson, two very evidential certified mediums with Forever Family Foundation. We're going to go to a break because lots more to come. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guests tonight are Joe Peretta and Siri Bernson. Our sponsor is the Comlock Center, and they could be found on the web at www.comlock.com. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th. And again, like our annual grief retreat, we are enjoying an early round of reservations, and the hotel block is filling up. Our Signs of Life radio guests tonight, Joe Peretta and Siri Bernson, are just two of the very talented presenters at this fabulous weekend. So we know all of our listeners are going to want to meet and work with them in person during our breakout workshops over the weekend. And like our original Afterlife Conference, this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, keep in mind that our no-refund policy before making your reservations. Also, keep in mind that you can always support this event as a sponsor and or by taking out an ad in the program. And here's a secret code just for our listeners tonight to get a special discount on their convention reservations. But it will only be in effect a short time, and it will expire on October 8th. That secret code is Radio 2016.
Not a secret anymore.
Well, to everybody who's not tuned in,
okay.
It's a secret. And our annual Holidays Past raffle is up and waiting for your entries to support the great work of our 100% volunteer organization. Win up to 5 medium readings in our drawing set for December 23rd. The mediums in this year's raffles are Catherine Nadal, Heidi Jaffe, Tracy Lee Nash, Renata Santarelli, and Lee Ashley. Check the events page on our website regularly for all other events and announcements. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Just remember to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Joe Peretta and Siri Bernson. You know, by the nature of the work that you do, I know that you realize the role that you play in benefiting those that are bereaved. I mean, you could make an enormous difference in their lives. I know that you never would classify yourself as a therapist because you're not a therapist, but do you ever perceive a danger among the bereaved that might view you as a therapist and perhaps, you know, even form an attachment as a lifeline to their deceased loved one?
Yeah, you know, I definitely have seen that from the beginning. You know, and it's not, I don't want to say it's not a negative thing because it really isn't a healthy thing, but, you know, you don't blame these people. But that's why I have a rule in place where I really don't read a person more than one time in like a 6-month period just to prevent, and I stick very strictly to it, just to prevent any of that happening. And, you know, you can surely understand how it could happen because during a reading, which I've had some of my own before I even started, you know, doing readings myself where, you know, that feeling of when you finally connect with someone that you lost and it's sort of such a special moment and you want to hold on to it forever. So, you know, I totally understand why people would want to do that. But like you said, we are not therapists, and every now and again I have referred people to a grief counselor or a therapist or someone that I think could help because you can't use a reading to replace, you know, what therapy probably should be dealing with.
Right.
So, in my case, I try not to see people more than twice a year, like the 6 months, you know, 6 months in between. There's only been one time. There was a young lady. She had lost her mom, and her mom was living overseas, and the lady was living here in the States in the Boston area. And she had a session with me, and she said it was life-changing. And then she wanted to have another session with me, and I said, I think you should see someone, you know, a therapist or something. And so she tried, and she actually did go a couple of times. And then she came back to me, and she said, you know, it was not working for her. And then she begged me if she could have another session with me. So what I did in this one occasion, because she was in such deep grief, I did once a month for 4 months only, and then it was almost as if this cloud began to lift. And so I just saw her this week, and she said to me, she actually said to me, you cannot believe the help that you provided when my mom passed away, because I was sobbing. I was sobbing through the sessions, and I said yes. And then this time around, this has been now 2 or 3 years later, and she said, you know, I barely even cried in this session. And I said, I know. So there's a huge transformation that did happen, but that was the only time, because I said to her, go and see a therapist, and she tried it a couple of times, and it just didn't work for her. That was the only time. It should never be a replacement, but if people find, there are some people that find immense healing in this work.
Well, absolutely, and what we're finding, and it grows every year, is that more and more therapists and mental health professionals are integrating, you know, mediumship into their practice. I mean, these are progressive, open-minded, you know, professionals, and because they recognize the positive effects that it can have. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, seeing clients. Only after a certain amount of time, you know, has passed, and as Joe mentioned, you can, if you are desperately seeking to know whether your loved one still survives, and you're in horrible grief, and then you get an amazing evidential reading, it's a whole new world, and I can certainly understand wanting to go back to that same medium over and over again. But I usually tell people, you know, why. You know, first of all, from an evidential point of view, wouldn't it be more significant if you went to another medium and your loved one came through again? You know, so there's some benefit to going, you know, to a different medium as opposed to the same medium, because you might question whether or not that medium remembered something from the old reading. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I send people to other people all the time. All the time. Like I say, if somebody has been with me too soon, I say to them, go on the Forever Family Foundation and look through the list of people. And, you know, you can email me back and say, you know, do you know them? And I will let them know if I know them, if I don't know them. And I will, you know, there are some people in the Family Foundation that I do know, and I have sent them to them. I don't know if they follow through with it, you know, but a lot of times there are people that will find one medium from the Forever Family Foundation, then find another one and find another one, and returning back to some of the other ones before.
So when you're, both of you have done numerous demonstrations for Forever Family Foundation, where there were large numbers of people in the audience and a large number of people that were in deep grief, do you, at the stage that you're both at, do you ever feel pressure? I mean, because after all, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of fragile people sitting there. I mean, is that something that provokes any angst or pressure that might inhibit the way that you work?
Well, you know what? It sometimes it does. I won't lie. Especially, I did the grief retreat for everybody who doesn't know. I in July when we were in Connecticut. And that was the first time I had really done such a, you know, large group of people where everybody had such a significant loss. So the responsibility of that was a little bit unnerving, but, you know, I trust in spirit and my guides, and I'm put here to do this work. So, you know, you just kind of open up and listen to what they have to say. And the biggest part, I think, of being a medium is trusting the information you're getting and that you're in the right place at the right time. So you kind of have that attitude about it, not that it's not a scapegoat, it just is what it is, and, you know, you look at it that way, you don't feel as much pressure. So that's what I learned to do, just as a learning experience for myself and anybody else out there who is listening and might do this work and is nervous about it. It's a good way to think about it because it's the truth. So, you know, I don't really get that. I mean, every now and again, of course, the thought crosses your mind, oh, my God, but if no one talks to me? But there's always somebody. So, you know, especially when you're reading a group of 50 people, somebody is always willing to talk to you on the other side. They always want a voice.
Right.
Yeah.
How about you,
so
sir?
So I kind of, I grew up a little bit in the spiritualist churches, and so that was my first place where I would do demonstrations. And so it's been 15 years now that I've been doing the demonstration. So in the first year, I would get a little bit nervous, but these days I have such faith that whether I'm doing a small group of 10 people or a larger group, I show up, I do my thing, and I just have such enormous faith. And it's interesting that by nature I'm very, very shy, but when I get up there and I do my work, it's almost like me, the person, the personality, Siri, kind of like goes back in a corner and sort of observes everything, but I really do my work the best that I can. So I have tremendous faith. I don't get anxiety or stage fright about any of that anymore, I have to say. Mm. I just have this, I have this very deep faith in my heart. I just know that once I get up there, I am one in tune with the spirit, and it just seems to flow.
Yeah, and then you are in a form of altered state of consciousness. So I'm sure that helps for the separation and the physical emotions kind of fall by the wayside. What about a lot of mediums describe, you know, when describing how they work and the process and how they interpret information, they have some sort of a personal symbol library, for lack of a better term, whatever you want to call it, but certain things that they might see or smell or hear that reminds them or gets them focused. Is that the way that you work? Do you have a library of things that you refer to?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm a little bit lazy about it, I won't lie. I think I have a smaller number of, you know, visual symbols and, you know, whatever else may come through symbolically, regularly, I should say, that a lot of other mediums have. I just think it's the way I work because I'm not such an organized person inside my head. It's always a jumble. So I think that when things get too structured, it just doesn't work for me. So I have, you know, like I mentioned before, when I see oranges, I know it's Florida. Or if I see a bowl of sugar, I know somebody has diabetes. It's things like that that just come in handy. But, you know, I find for me the best information always comes through when spirits show me something and I have no freaking clue what they're talking about. And then I, you know, tell people I'm smelling this or I'm seeing this, and then, you know, it's always like the best validation, and you know it's the person that you're, you know, looking to connect with. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And, again, I think that's how all mediums work. I just think it's a matter of how your brain ticks and how your guides kind of have to work with you to get you to give the best reading you can.
Right.
So I do. So I do it a little bit differently because I've been trained both in America and also in the UK. So I try to use sort of a method where you're blending with the spirit person. And so when you blend with the spirit that is coming through, you're able to see through their eyes. You're able to really experience who they are. There's very few shortcuts when it comes to that, because the other thing also, when I get to that state where I'm really truly merged with the spirit, I'm talking about the private sessions. One of the things that I do a lot lately is that I got to the moment of passing, you know, like who was doing what and, you know, who was taking care of who and what were they doing? You know, like at one point, I remember there was a data sense for a woman and I smelled oranges, but I knew that someone was putting lotion on my hands and on my arms. And so I knew that as I felt the lotion coming onto my arms, I said to the lady, I said to the partner, I said, I can smell the body lotion, I can smell the scent of oranges. And then the lady said, yeah, that was my partner's favorite lotion. And so she did that before her passing quite frequently. And so I really get into the essence of the spirit when I work. So it's not a lot of necessarily symbols per se, because I want every session to be somewhat unique. So I work with all of the senses, and then I also do try to work with the senses both objectively and subjectively. So I'm actually probably different from Joe. I have a system that is really set up in my mind. So I think I'm a little bit more of the MIT person, the engineer, that I've sort of structured everything. So I flow through all these categories in different ways.
Okay. Well, this hour has flown by, unfortunately, very quickly. Surya, how do people get a hold of you?
Spirit of Light. SpiritofLight.com, or even just SuryaBernson.com. They'll find me on my website.
Okay. And Joe?
You can go to JoePeretta.com, PsychicMediumJoePeretta.com. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there.
Okay. Joe and Suri, thank you so much for being with us. A lot of good information. And we look forward to seeing you very soon. And we'll bring cookies.
I am so excited. I am so excited. I cannot wait to see my... This is my family. It's my spirit family, so I can't wait to see all the other mediums.
All right. Thank you.
It'll be
fabulous. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Ginger Quinlan, Trevor McKinney, Karen Gould, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Hayes, Miriam Pierge, Gadana Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, Doreen Malloy, Diane Archangel, Joan Lipke, Isabel Ginsberg, and Vince Mattia. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.